Thank you. We'd like to welcome everyone to the Mesa City Council meeting for October the 21st. We will begin our meeting with an invocation followed by the Pledge of Allegiance as Mr. William Hudson from the Shield of Faith Church here. I didn't see him, just double checking. In that case, we'll begin with a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. So please stand for a moment of silence and the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. At the beginning of our meeting, we do have a couple of presentations under awards and recognitions. First, we have two. The first item is the National Bullying Prevention. We're going to start with the Historic Preservation Board. Sorry about that. So we'd like to invite Greg Merrick, who's the chairman of our city's Historic Preservation Board, to come up and present some awards. Greg?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Again,
my name is Greg Merrick. I'm chair of the City of Mesa Historic Preservation Board. And tonight we are recognizing individuals and an organization that have made significant contributions to historic preservation in the City of Mesa. The Historic Preservation Board and the Mesa City Council have been recognizing Mesa preservationists annually since 1998. Tonight the awards are for contributions in the following categories: rehabilitation and restoration, stewardship, local preservationist, and education and outreach. The first award this evening is to the City of Mesa for rehabilitation and restoration for assisting the Mesa Preservation Foundation in saving threatened historic neon signs and transporting and storing the signs in a secured location. The Historic Preservation Board wants to specifically acknowledge the help and assistance of City Manager Chris Brady and Downtown Transformation Manager Jeff McVeigh, as well as the Mesa Preservation Foundation in saving these important neon signs. The awareness of Mesa's neon signs really came to light in 2010 when the Diving Lady neon sign was damaged in a storm. Through the efforts of the Mesa Preservation Foundation to raise funds to restore the sign, the newly restored sign was dedicated in 2013. Ever since, the public's interest in the history and protection of Mesa's neon signs has grown. Mesa has the largest number of remaining early neon signs in the Phoenix metro area. To document Mesa's early neon sign inventory, Lauren Alsop, Mesa's former historic preservation professional, which was a contract person funded by the City Council, applied to the State Historic Preservation Office for a grant to inventory and document the city's early neon signs. The grant was awarded in late 2017, and the inventory and documentation was completed in October 2018. Recently, some of Mesa's best examples of early neon signs were in danger of being lost, and the Mesa Preservation Foundation raised the alarm. The foundation did not have the resources to safely remove the signs and transport them to a safe, secure location for storage until they can be displayed to the public. So in stepped the City of Mesa, which undertook the oversight of saving these signs and safely stored them. Because of the city's efforts, we've been able to save the Sally Fabrics, Bill Johnson's Big Apple, Dairy Queen, Frontier neon signs, and currently Mesa Preservation Foundation has had the Gunnell Jewelry neon sign donated to it, and that's in the process of being secured as well. Some of these signs were actually produced by the legendary sign maker Paul Millett, so they are very important to the history of Mesa. Recently, the iconic Western Watson Flowers neon sign was added to the collection as well. None of this would have been possible without the support and assistance of the City of Mesa, especially City Manager Chris Brady. For this effort to save Mesa's early neon signs, the City of Mesa is awarded the 2019 Historic Preservation Award for rehabilitation and restoration. And I think Jeff McVeigh is accepting on behalf of the City of Mesa.
I think at the end we'll go. Or maybe not.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Vic Linoff, President of the Mesa Preservation Foundation. What would you rather do, Mayor? Just one big group photo afterwards? Yeah, that'd be fine. Thank you. The next two awards are to Michelle Donovan for rehabilitation and restoration and Kathy Adams for stewardship for the facade renovation for the Nile Theater Building. The Nile Building was built in 1924 as a theater, and over the years has had many uses. The current use is a theater, again, with a coffee shop owned by Michelle occupying the storefront. Michelle and Kathy applied to the City of Mesa to participate in the facade improvement program to remove the colonnade in front of the building and to restore the facade as much as possible by removing the stucco to reveal the original 1924 brickwork. The grant required financial participation, which the business owner, Michelle Donovan, provided, and the involvement of the property owner, Kathy Adams, to not only agree to their renovation of the storefront, but also participate in the design and restoration with the project team led by architect Ron Peters. Once the stucco was removed, it was discovered that the original brick was painted yellow. It proved to be extremely difficult to remove the paint without damaging the brick, so the brick was painted to match the original color. Improvements also included new doors, decorative tiles along the front of the building, a 24-foot black canopy with Edison light bulbs below, a rebuilt parapet, and five black gooseneck lamps placed along the facade, which illuminates a freshly painted mural of the Nile logo. This renovation would not have been possible without the participation of Michelle and Kathy and the City of Mesa Facade Program. Because of these efforts, now everyone can see how the Nile looked as it did in its glory days. For their participation in the renovation of the Nile Theater Building facade, Michelle Donovan is awarded the 2019 Historic Preservation Award for Rehabilitation and Restoration, and Kathy Adams the 2019 Award for Stewardship.
Thank you for all your support. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next award is for local preservationists and is also involves the Nile Theater. Bruce Nelson is receiving this preservation award for his film documentaries about Mesa history. The most recent is the Nile Theater, An Oasis in the Desert. Bruce, a Mesa native who was born and raised in Washington Park, a neighborhood developed in the early 20th century northeast of University Drive and Center Street for the town's African-American and Hispanic residents. Bruce's first documentary debuted in 2015 called Northtown, Heritage of a Black Community, chronicling the experiences of the Black community in Washington Park through a series of interviews. For a second documentary film, Bruce decided to focus on the Nile Theater, which opened in 1924, as I mentioned, 5 years before the Phoenix Orpheum Theater. When it opened, the Nile Theater was the first, in quotation marks, air-conditioned theater in the valley. It was using an innovative system at that time that blew air over tons of ice that was dumped in a bin in the alley behind the building, and it was vented through grills on the seat risers. At this time, Mesa only had a population of 4,000 people, so it was pretty innovative at that time. To begin work on his documentary, The Nile Theater, Bruce needed funding. He applied for a grant with the Neighborhood Economic Development Corporation in a special grant program for art-inspired activities called Ripple, Art as Placemaking. He received a $1,000 mini-grant, enough to get the project started. He followed this up with various fundraising events. After months of research, interviewing people connected to the theater, writing script, and assembling a film team, resulted in the documentary Nile Theater, An Oasis in the Desert. Bruce's Nile Theater documentary was an official selection of the Long Beach International Film Festival, Jerome Independent Film and Music Festival, and the Chandler International Film Festival, where it won Best Documentary Short Award. It was also a film semifinalist at the Hollywood Screenings Film Festival. Bruce is currently in post-production on his third documentary called Segregation and Determination, Veterans of Washington Escobedo. For his work in documenting Mesa's history, the Historic Preservation Board is pleased to award Bruce Nelson the 2019 Historic Preservation Award for Local Preservationist. Bruce?
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
That's great. I just finished a documentary about the Hoho Cams, the Mesa Hoho Cams. So that's
really
next, okay. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce. The final award tonight is presented to Sandra Apsey for Education and Outreach for her work in researching and documenting minority history in Mesa. Unfortunately, Sandra is not able to be with us this evening, and we will present her award to her at our November 5th Historic Preservation Board meeting. But I just want to give you a brief background on why Sandra is receiving this award. Sandra is a retired City of Mesa librarian and worked in the Mesa Room at the Mesa Public Library. The Mesa Room is the source for Mesa's collective memory. The Mesa Room collects, preserves, and shares materials on historic and present-day Mesa. It's located in the basement of the main library. The Mesa Room is open to everyone on Tuesdays from 10 a.m. to noon and from 3 to 5 p.m. on Wednesdays. Tuesdays and then Wednesdays from 10 a.m. to noon. And just wanted to give a little plug for the Mesa Room. It's a great place to be. Sandra made significant contributions to the preservation of minority history in Mesa. She conducted oral histories of individuals and managed an oral history project that highlighted the Washington Park Escobedo areas, the area known to residents as Northtown and the Village, and what it was like to live in a segregated neighborhood. As part of her research, Sandra applied for funding through a program offered by the Arizona Department of Archives called Arizona Memories. With the funding, she hired interviewers, found elderly minority interviewees, and kept records with subject headings. This information is available in the Mesa Public Library's Mesa Room. The oral history project was completed in 2005, and the interviews from this project were used on the nomination form to place Dr. Alston's house on the National Register of Historic Places. The project is especially important since some of the oral history interviewees have passed away. In addition to the oral history project, Sandra used her artistic talents to create a map of the Washington Park Escobedo area. The color-coded map shows current and historic names for the streets, as well as locations for Booker T. Washington School, the community center, and Escobedo Swimming Pool. This map also is available in the Mesa Room. For her work in researching and gathering memories from Mesa's Washington Park Escobedo neighborhood, the Historic Preservation Award, Sandra Apsey, the 2019 Historic Preservation Award for Education and Outreach. And thank you very much for your time.
You know, I'm going to invite the council to come down, and if we could have the awardees come again, and let's take a group photo so we can give further publicity to this these great awards. So I will join you at the podium. Thank you. We have one other item on the awards and recognitions tonight, and that is recognizing National Bullying Prevention Month. Several of us are wearing orange today because that's the color to bring awareness to this great cause. And I'd like to hand the introduction of this award over to Councilmember Heredia.
Perfect. Thank you, Mayor. Tonight we're signing a pledge to stop bullying. The pledge from the organization Not In Our Town says, "I pledge to stand to all forms of hate, bigotry, and bullying. I will not stay silent in the face of intolerance based on race, ethnicity, sexuality, gender, religion, ability, or any other factor. I will work together with my neighbors to create a safer, more inclusive communities for all." I don't know if Jessica Behrens from Mesa Public Schools is here. She can tell us a little bit more about this prevention in our schools and then we can go down and we have pledges here that we signed as council members and go from there. Thank you, perfect. Jessica.
Thank you. I'll start with a couple of statistics about bullying in American schools. According to the U.S. Department of Education, more than one out of every five students report being bullied. 43% of students report notifying an adult at school about the incident, and 57% of bullying situations end with adult intervention. Students reported that the most helpful things adults can do are listen to the student, check in with them afterwards to see if the bullying stopped, and give the student advice. National Bullying Prevention Month is every October and serves the purpose of uniting communities nationwide to educate and raise awareness of bullying prevention. In Mesa, our school staff are trained to identify and intervene in bullying situations. Our goal is to create a learning environment where our students feel welcomed and safe, and preventing bullying is a critical step. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica, and thank you. Thank you, Councilman Beretti. I think we've all signed our pledges. So let's, if you don't mind, Jessica, we'll come down and join you and take a photo with these pledges. Is that all right?
Perfect.
All right, thank you. The next item on our agenda is to take action on the consent agenda. We'd like to invite Mr. Kevin Christopher forward to read the agenda. Mr. Christopher, I have received one card on an item on the agenda. That's agenda item 4H, so we'll take that off the consent agenda.
Okay. Good evening, Mayor and Council members. These are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the City Council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on liquor license application for Mesa Urban Renewal and Arts Lab. Two-day event, November 15th and 16th on McDonald between Main Street and Pepper Place. Item 3B, act on liquor license application for Neighborhood Economic Development Corporation. Two-day event, October 31st and November 1st, 218 West Main Street. Item 3C, act on liquor license application for Queen of Peace Roman Catholic Parish. One-day event, November 24th, 141 North McDonald. Item 3D, act on liquor license application for Endgame Bar, 1233 South Alma School Road. Item 3E, act on liquor license application for Mino's Place, 1720 West Southern Avenue. Item 3F, act on liquor license application for Cinemark Mesa 16, 1051 North Dobson Road. Item 4A, act on two-year renewal of the term contract for 3M radio frequency identification equipment and maintenance for the Library Services Department. Item 4B, act on contract amendment, a dollar limit increase to the term contract for cellular phone equipment, wireless voice and data service plan for citywide departments, as requested by the Business Services Department. Item 4C, act on three-year term contract with 2 years of renewal options for auction services. Item 4D, act on three-year term contract with 2 years of renewal options for landscape irrigation and sprinkler supplies for the materials and supply warehouse for the Parks, Recreation, and Community Facilities and Transportation Departments. Item 4E, act on three-year term contract with 2 years of renewal options for cool deck resurfacing and repairs for the Parks, Recreation, and Community Facilities Department. Item 4F, act on dollar limit increase to the term contract for landscape maintenance services for parks retention basins and sports fields, Zone 4, for the Parks, Recreation, and Community Facilities Department. Item 4G, act on one-year renewal, the one-year renewal option of the term contract for wire and cable for the materials and supply warehouse for various city departments. Item 4H has been removed from the consent agenda. Item 4I, act on one-year renewal, the one-year renewal option of the term contract for ammunition for the police department. Item 4J, act on dollar limit increase to the term contract with 2 years of renewal options for emergency pipeline repair services for the Water Resources Department. Item 4K, act on contract to purchase 3 replacement heavy-duty construction trucks with dump bodies for the Transportation Department as requested by the Fleet Services Department. This purchase is funded by the Local Streets Fund. Item 4L, act on 1 year term contract with 2 years of renewal options for traffic controllers and cameras and traffic signal video detection systems for the Transportation Department. Item 4M, act on re-award of the 3 year term contract with 2 years of renewal options for welding certification and inspection services for the Energy Resources Department. Item 4N, act on Warner Road Lift Station Project, construction manager at risk, and pre-construction services contract. This project is funded by the 2014 authorized water bonds, 2014 wastewater bonds, 2014 gas bonds. Item 5A, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into a sub-recipient agreement with the Arizona Department of Homeland Security for grant funds for equipment, training, and planning for the Fire Medical Department's Rapid Response Team. Item 5B, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into task force agreements with the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Forces under the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration to accept funds during fiscal year October 1st, 2019 through September 30th, 2020 for overtime and other authorized expenses for Mesa Police Department personnel assigned to the task forces. Item 5C, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into a highway safety contract with the Arizona Governor's Office of Highway Safety to accept grant funds for the Police Department's Traffic Division for overtime and employee-related expenses for the Selective Traffic Enforcement Program. Item 5D, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into a highway safety contract with the Arizona Governor's Office of Highway Safety to accept grant funds for the Police Department's Traffic Division for overtime and employee-related expenses for the DUI impaired driving enforcement. Item 5E, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into a grant award with the U.S. Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs, to accept grant funds from the National Institute of Justice for overtime and equipment for DNA backlog reduction for the Police Department's Forensic Services Division. Item 5F, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into an intergovernmental agreement with Maricopa County and the City of Phoenix for reallocation of grant funds from the Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistant Grant Program to resolve disparity between the county and cities as recipients of the funds. The funds will be used by the Police Department for continuation of the microfilm conversion project to PDF. Item 5G, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into the annual operations funding agreement with Valley Metro Rail Incorporated for the current light rail operations in the city of Mesa. Item 5H, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to enter into a transit services amendment to the Mesa intergovernmental agreement with the Regional Public Transportation Authority for a fixed bus, dollar ride, and ride choice, ADA Platinum Pass Transit Services, and mutual aid in the event of an emergency. Item 6A, introduction of ordinance regarding ZON 19-00444 within the 7100 through 7200 blocks of East University Drive and within the 100 to 400 blocks of North Sun Valley Boulevard on the south side of University Drive, modification of an approved plan area development and associated conditions of approval and site plan modification. This will allow an amendment to remove a condition of approval limiting the square footage allowed for medical offices. Item 6B, introduction of ordinance regarding ZON 19-00473 within the 3100 block of South East Ridge. This is located south of Guadalupe Road and east of Hawes Road. A rezone and site plan review to allow for development a multi-residence development. Item 7A, act on ordinance regarding ZON 19-00365 within the 9600 through 9700 blocks of East Hampton Avenue on the north side. This is located south of Southern Avenue on the west side of Chrisman Road. Rezone and site plan review to allow for multiple residence development. Item 8A, act on subdivision plat, Eastmark DU 3/4, North Phase 4 MDR. This is within the 4600 through 5000 blocks of South Ellsworth Road and within the 9200 through 9500 blocks of East Point 22 Boulevard. This is located north of Ray Road on the east side of Ellsworth Road. Item 9A is zoning case ZON 19-00440. This is for property located at 1728 South Greenfield Road. This case is for continuance to the November 4th City Council meeting. Mayor and Council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Christopher. I'll note that agenda item 9A originally was scheduled to be off of the consent agenda, so if there's anyone here that came to speak on that zoning case, please let us know and we'll take it off the consent agenda. This is has to do with a hearing on a zoning case involving a pawn shop. Is there anybody here that would like to be heard on that item? Okay, thank you. Ms. Mickelson, have we received any other requests to speak on an item on the consent agenda? Okay, thank you. We have a motion made by Mr. Freeman, seconded by Mr. Heredia. Please vote. The vote is five ayes with Councilmember Luna and Whitaker absent and excused. The next item on our agenda is agenda item 4H. I'll briefly read what that is. This is a dollar limit. I'm sorry, 4H is ratification of the emergency purchase for preventive maintenance and repairs for 31 Revel ventilators for the Mesa Fire and Medical Department. We do have a request to speak on this item. Invite forward Carrie Davis. Welcome, Mr. Davis.
Thank you. Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council. Here to speak on item 4H. The report that was included as the backup, the City Council report, indicated that what appeared to be the manufacturer of the ventilators may have been responsible for the delay which resulted in the need to request the emergency service purchase. My question to the City Council or to staff is, will the city be able to recoup some of the $32,394 spent for the preventative maintenance work, given that it appeared that the delay that the manufacturers resulted in that need for that preventative maintenance request?
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Mr. Pombier or anyone from the fire department, can you enlighten us on what happened with this contract? And yes,
thank you.
David, go ahead and have a seat. Thank you very much. We'll try to respond to your question.
Thank you, sir. Mayor, members of the council. There was a delay. We generally take our monitors, the Revel ventilators in. So there was a delay in getting the parts for the ventilator back. But then we had some responsibility to that as well because we didn't catch it sooner. So we didn't ask the company because we had some culpability in that as well. We can surely go to the manufacturer and see if they can reimburse some of the cost. But because it was, we were responsible for it as well, we felt like we had the responsibility for that too.
Can I ask her a question? Of course.
Chief, question. These devices would be scheduled for maintenance regardless,
right,
down the road. So, I mean, whether it was before or after or during, obviously they would be scheduled, again, for maintenance. And unfortunately, they fell out of compliance for some reason. Both the manufacturer not having the parts plus not getting them scheduled in. So creates the delay, creates the emergency purchase for bringing them up to manufacturer specs.
Vice Mayor Freeman, members of the council, that is correct. The cost would have been this. We would have stretched it out longer. We do a few at a time, but because we had to purchase them all at the same time, that's why we asked for the emergency ratification of the funding.
Well, obviously, these devices are very important as a tool for our paramedics and ambulance services that are provided. But regardless, appreciate your comments, and hopefully that satisfies the question asked.
Okay, thank you.
Well, as I understood the question, it had to do with, was there some additional cost involved as a result of this being caught at the last minute? I mean, we would have had to buy these machines in the normal course of business, correct?
Right. So we purchased these ventilators with grant dollars in 2011, and we have 37 of them. And then they have a maintenance fee. Every 3 years, we have to do just a maintenance on them. So this maintenance process, when it was going through the process, that's when the delay happens. We generally send in a few at a time. Then we get them back and send a few at a time. That's how we do it. Because there was a delay on their end because they were getting some parts in, we ended up, when we realized how long it's been, then we just had it, all of them kind of went out of compliance, and so we sent the rest of them in at the same time, and that's kind of what caused that, all of the money that we needed at one time, because then we just sent them in. It's Palm Springs, California. We kind of drove them down there.
Mr. Pombier, do you want to?
Mayor, to your question, I don't believe there was an additional cost. It was just the timing of the cost, and that's why we came back for emergency ratification, but I don't think we sustained any additional costs because,
right,
of the delay.
No
there
additional.
Weren't, there wasn't like a penalty or something like that. Well, this is, we would have paid this to spread out over a longer period of time in a more orderly fashion.
Correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Chief, just for the record, how expensive are these devices per device?
The ventilators cost $16,000, and to repair them and to do the maintenance is about $800 or $900 a piece to every 3 to 5 years.
And so we have 31 devices?
37.
37 at $16,000 a piece?
And yes, and they were purchased with grant dollars in 2011.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Council, any other questions or comments on this item? If not, is there a motion? Mr. Freeman has made a motion, seconded by Mr. Thompson. Please cast your vote. 5 in favor with Councilmember Luna and Whitaker absent. Thank you. Mr. Davis, thank you for coming and raising the question. Next item on our agenda is items from citizens present. I have two cards at this point. First, we'll hear from my friend and neighbor, Mr. Greg Arnett. Thank you for coming, Mr. Arnett.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You have 3 minutes.
This will be hard, but I'll try.
All right.
I'm here today just by way of context. My wife and I bought a property downtown Mesa, 703 East First Avenue. First Avenue on the corner of Ashland and First Avenue. And we love it downtown. And for the record, we love what's happening. We love what's happening for the development. We quickly found out we can't park anywhere. As we got to know the neighbors, I guess this has become a large frustration. And so the purpose of me being here today, as we kind of gather as a neighborhood to find out what we can do, I know there's been some other things on the agenda recently and some other projects that have been approved. When it is discussed that the future tenants of these developments will not need vehicles or need to park them, we should probably revisit that and really make sure we take a closer look at that. What's happened in our neighborhood is we can't really park in front of our homes. And it's kind of, sometimes our trash doesn't get picked up. We're working through those things. Unfortunately, sometimes there's some frustration with tow truck drivers so we can pull out of our driveways. Now, having said that, we love the neighborhood. We love downtown. There might be some solutions for that. But as we move forward, the purpose of me being here today is very simple. I love the development. I love the idea of what we're doing on Main Street, but let's not load up these neighborhoods. These neighborhoods, unfortunately, is having an undesirable effect, at least in the neighborhood where we're at. And we'll work through that somehow. And as this kind of is kind of our kickoff and our meeting with neighbors, we're just trying to figure out what can we do just to improve the neighborhood a little bit. So mainly as we go forward with future projects that I've seen that have been approved, they do have many vehicles. They don't all drive the light rail or take the light rail to wherever they're going. And so let's not do this at the sake of some of the neighborhoods. But other than that, I appreciate what you're doing downtown. I'm a big fan. I love it. Let's just be careful as we do that. Thank you for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Arnett. Thanks for coming out. Unfortunately, because this item isn't on our agenda, we can't engage in a dialogue with you about it. But we will. The city staff will be reaching out to further listen to what your comments are. The next card we have is from Charles Hughes. Mr. Hughes, welcome as well. You have 3 minutes.
Do you all have the handout, though, before I begin? Thank you very much. Well, I have met several of you in my role as part of the Mesa Solar team, but it's nice to be here. A different reason. I, Honorable Mayor, Honorable Council members and staff, I'm here because I am opposed to putting houses on the corner, northwest corner of Thomas and Wrecker. And what I put in there, I understand the zoning and the legalese. It's not necessarily the zoning, but I do not believe houses should be there. Now, I will say I'm from Red Mountain. So personally, when we said my company transferred me away, moved me back, I did see future parkland. It did factor into us buying a house in that area. But I want to talk to the bigger picture. The housing will degrade and jeopardize the economic value of Falcon Field and the Falcon District. I have been in the aeronautical business for over 50 years. I've retired from it. I've lived in 5 different places, seen a number of small airports. Companies I worked for depended on small airports to run their research out of. The economic benefit analysis approved by you folks on July 8th shows the economic benefits of Falcon Field is $811 million annually without Boeing, and with Boeing, $6.8 billion. Don't let anyone tell you there will be a negative impact from houses going there, but it's very hard to quantify. In my business, we run sensitivity analysis, and I'm sure you've done that on the staff and all too. So I said, well, what would happen if we take the economic value over 20 years and assume a 1% and a 10% loss? So over 20 years, which I think is a good representation of analysis, the value of that field is, without Boeing, $16.2 billion in economic benefits. With Boeing, it's $136 billion. A 1% loss, just one, is $162 million at the low end. 10%, with Boeing included, is $13.6 billion over 20 years. I don't think you had these numbers, because this report was adopted in July when you were thinking of the land sale. But when you realize that $162 million compared to a gain of $18 million is not worth it, it doesn't make sense. And this one, I want to give you some praise. I told you I've lived in five different places, been in aerospace, seen a lot of small airports and a lot of cities. You folks have really built Falcon Field up. Its value is because of you and your predecessors and what you've done. I've never seen a city concentrate on protecting their small airport, and it's got the benefits because of your foresight. So, and I didn't do that just to make you feel good. I've never seen a city do this well. And I'm seeing the Falcon Field districts going up, the signs. Why would we jeopardize these economic gains after you work so hard for future planning for these economic benefits? So keep the park or the low-density use. Don't put the houses in there. I'm telling you, after 50 years, I've seen airports. The economic vitality has gone down, and some have been smothered out. There are no small airports that were needed for industry in some cities. So thank you very much. I certainly understand you can't speak to it with the open meeting law. I was a councilman in another city and another state, but thank you so much for hearing me out, and I really hope you look at these numbers. They are your numbers to start with. Thank you.
Thank you for being here, Mr. Hughes, and I assure you this item, although it's not on the agenda tonight, will be on our agenda many times before, so I'd invite you to come back.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, staff.
That concludes all of the items on our agenda for this meeting. Council, is there a motion to adjourn? Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.